Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah! For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. You know what? It's football season, and Friday night, actually, Thursday night, it all kicked off with a lot of games in the Valley here, and we're going to talk about all the games that kind of took place this last weekend and what we saw. I mean, today we're going to be joined by John Perryman, who is the moderator of the ArizonaVarsity.com website, and we're going to talk to him about what he sees and what might develop. We're also going to get a peek at the top 10 that they have come up with at ArizonaVarsity.com and look at the top 10 teams in the state as he pre-ranks them. And then we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll also take a look at, you know, a couple different games individually. You know, this week was some shocking scores, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, are some coaches overstepping the bounds with you know, the scores and sportsmanship, and I don't know. We'll take a look, because I saw some things in the scoring that I was like, very interesting. And so we're going to take a look at that. But first, before we get into football, we're going to talk a little bit about this week, the Coach's Corner's Fitness Challenge. That's right, the Coach's Corner Fitness Challenge. I am hitting day 60. I am personally hitting day 60, because remember, I started 30 days before everybody else. So I'm hitting day 60 on Thursday. Thursday is going to be the day that I'll be taking the picture and posting it on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook and you like the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, you will see the before and after pictures, day 1 and day 60, see the difference and see the weight drop and all that kind of good stuff. Also, we start looking at some of our contestants, some of the people who are participating with the coach in his fitness challenge. Because yours started on August 1st, so we're coming up on your 31st day here at the end of the month. You got to weigh, take your picture, take your measurements, and send it in. HSSportsTalk@yahoo.com. Again, it's HSSportsTalk@yahoo.com. That's right. Get all of your pictures taken. Get your weight done. Get your measurements done and send it in on email. I've gotten several people who have jumped on ship and who are doing this, and they're doing a great job. As a matter of fact, I know a couple coaches that are participating in the Coach's Corner Fitness Challenge, the 90-Day Fitness Challenge, and they're working. And so we're going to find out how they're doing, and I'm going to hold some feet to the fire, because I know I had a couple buddies who have said, yep, I'm going to do this. And one of you gained some weight. So we're going to talk about that a little bit when the 30th day rolls around, maybe next Monday. So that's some other things, man. I want you guys jumping on the Facebook page, like the Coach's Corner, and then that way you can follow me. Also, I'm going to put on there a blog that's talking about the second 30 days of my fitness challenge. See, I'm ahead of you so that I can tell you what you can expect in your next segment, your next stretch. You know, the first 30 days, I talked about the significant difference of getting up and getting moving and working out and changing the meal plan. And you know what? I've kind of gotten used to getting up, working out, and it's feeling good. I've dropped some weight. I'm feeling stronger. I'm getting stronger every day. My trainer, Mighty Mo, over at Underground Fitness is really working me hard. And you know what? Then I turn around and the meal plan she gave me to eat, I'm eating six times a day. See, here's the thing. For me, that's a lot because I used to only eat once or twice. I know that some of you do the same thing. You get up, you're not real hungry in the morning, and you start doing what you got to do. You get busy. Next thing you know, oh, wow, it's 2 o'clock. Got to eat some lunch. Or you may grab a lunch or a snack early in the morning, and then you don't eat anything the rest of the day. And then at home, you don't get home as a coach until like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and you eat a big meal, and then you go to bed and crash. Well, that's where all that weight starts to come from, sitting around and eating that food late at night and then going to bed resting. Metabolism so slow, it's like, hey, whatever, man, whatever you put in there, just go ahead, it can sit, and it turns into fat. Well, now I'm eating six times a day, and I tell you what, I'm hungry on the clock every 2 hours. And you know what, it's a little bit of a shift. It's a little bit of a shift because I have to make sure that I pack. Like today I've got a full day. Started at 4:30 this morning, had workout, had to pack my shake, then I had to pack my breakfast, got to school, ate my breakfast, then had lunch. Then before I got here, I had to do my fourth meal. Then I've got a parent meeting tonight, and you know what? I'm going to have my shake, and then when I get home, I'm going to have my meal. And man, you know, then the day's over with. So it's one of those things that you just have to plan. That's the biggest shift for me. It's a life shift. You know, your lifestyle shift, the way you do things, you have to plan it out. And so I had to pack this morning. I packed everything up, put it in a cooler, took it, put it in the trunk, and you know what? I'm all good. So I'm going to blog about all the different, the things that you're going to end up on in your journey. And, you know, I gave you some great diet sites or great sites that you can look to for some meal plans. Green Faces Diet, there's one. And then you've got, I can't even remember some of the ones that we put up. But if you go back and you listen to the show about obesity and listen to Mighty Mo talk about the meal plans and the diet plans and all that kind of stuff, there's all kinds of stuff you can research on the internet. Hit Google up and type in a diet meal plan, and there's different things that you can do to help drop some weight, shed some weight. And you know, it's a good time of year to do it. It's a great time of year to do it. So it's hot too in Phoenix right now, and we're in triple digits and have had heat advisory for the last 10 days straight, I think it was. The last 10 or 14 days straight, it's been ugly. As I drive off of campus at school and I watch those guys walking out there with the football pads on and then throwing their helmets on as they walk out onto the grass, reminds me back in the day how we used to have to do that. And I remember when we were at Servite High School as freshmen, when you're out on the football field and you had your helmets on and you're on your back doing leg lifts and you're looking up, there was a big clock that sat off of one of the banks. It was a digital clock, and it used to tell you what time it was, and it would flash from the time to the temperature, and then back to the time, and then back to the temperature. And man, I tell you what, there were those days where we were out there doing leg lifts, push-ups, sit-ups, all the calisthenics that the coaches used to put us through. And I swear, man, when you're on the field and you're drenched in sweat and you're itchy because of the grass, you think you've been out there for an hour for sure. You look up, it's been 10 minutes. You're like, oh gosh, you know. I remember that, man. I remember the seeing the temperature on that clock made it hotter. It said 102. And you're like, oh man, it's hot. And so it was a mind game. I used to hate that. I wanted to face the other way. I think the coaches did that to us on purpose. But that's what it reminds me of, watching these guys head out to the football field right now in this heat. Well, some of it is really paying off big time for some schools. You know, I went to the Saguaro game, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I went to the Saguaro game, and that's paying off, you know, the hard work that they've been putting in and all these other schools have been putting in. And let's look at a couple scores here before we end up taking a break, because on Thursday night we kicked off the season officially with everybody starting to play. Of course, last week we talked a little bit about Chaparral having the big game kickoff over at University of Phoenix Stadium against Bishop Gorman, and that was kind of the teeing up of the season. Well, everybody laced it up and stepped on the field Thursday and Friday night this last week. So we're going to talk about a couple of those games. If we look down south, we got Saguaro down in Tucson, played Cholla. And, you know, that game was a 28-7 game. Not a bad score, not a bad game. I'm wondering how hot it was down there at the time of kickoff. I know temperature-wise up here, time of kickoff Friday night, still pretty hot, still triple digits. Then we go up north and we look at Coconino against Page. Now, this was a lopsided score, 55-7. Coconino just ran all over Page that night. And then we look at down south again. We go back down there and we look at Tucson against Pueblo. And Tucson, man, Tucson's defense just shut Pueblo down, held them scoreless the whole game. And on the offensive side of the football, they ran the football all over the place with 55 points put up on the board. So they had a good night. Then we look over at a local rivalry. It's kind of hard to start a season off with your rival coming into your facility, but Arcadia and Coronado, which was the Cox game of the week, and Arcadia took care of Coronado, holding them scoreless. And offensively, Arcadia put 22 points on the board. Now, that's the third year in a row Arcadia was able to beat Coronado. So that rivalry, that fire is getting stoked a little bit more. I can tell you right now, I know that the Coronado side of things, they're not real happy with the results of the last 3 years, football-wise. So now let's go ahead and take a look at Friday. We're going to take a look at Friday. Just a couple quick games here because I'm looking at some scores and I want to show you a trend here. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off if you don't know, the AIA this year changed the layout. And we talked a little bit about this last week when we had Coach Saunders on from Saguaro, how they changed it from, instead of having regions and instead of having, conferences, they now have different conferences and no regions. So they have Division 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So we're going to take a quick look at Division 6, which includes schools like Baghdad and Fredonia. Well, Baghdad whooped up on Fredonia 63-0. And then you had another lopsided score down there, Pima over Chandler Prep 52-7. And then Joy Christian, here's one that's interesting. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask our guest, John Perryman, what he thinks about this. But Joy Christian beat San Pasqual. Listen to this. This is a football score, 96-0. 96-0. Now, I don't want to say that that's running the score up on somebody and showing a lack of class, but you know what? 96-0, that stings a little bit. I don't know what the game looked like because I wasn't there. But 96-0, back it off a little bit. That's my gut instinct. That's my feeling. Then you had another score, which was interesting. Joseph City over Rock Point, 82-12. That's a little tough to swallow. And then you had St. David, 85 over ASDB, nothing. So you have a couple schools that are just really just thumping people. You have Scottsdale Prep, 82, Cibacue, 40. Those are some interesting scores. And so I'm looking at these scores and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. First off, why would you want to put 100 points on the board if you're a football coach? And secondly, why would you let your kids put 100 points on the board if you're a football coach? But then again, I don't know. I'm going to ask our guests when we come back from the break. We're going to take the break here about a minute early. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead, we're going to wrap this segment up, we're going to go to break, we're going to come back, and it's going to give us a couple minutes extra with our guest, John Perryman. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. We got some unfinished business I got to take care of, so we'll be back in just a few minutes.
What is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done. And Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right. Welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. And right now, we're being joined by our guest today, John Perryman, moderator for the ArizonaVarsity.com website. And right before the break, I started dropping some scores out there that were pretty lopsided as we were talking about a 96 to nothing win and 85 to nothing win and 82 to 40 win by some teams. And so, we, you know, we're going to talk about this and find out what John thinks about it. Well, as a matter of fact, just as I was getting ready to go to him, his call dropped it. So he's going to give us a call back here in just a second. But, I mean, I don't know. What are your takes on this? As fans, do you, when you go to a game and you see an 82 to nothing score, what do you think about it? So now I'm going to go ahead and go to our guest because he's back on the line. John, you there?
Yeah, sorry about that, Coach. I thought you cut me early.
No problem. Okay,
hey,
so
hey, before we get into this, we don't really have to look at those before pictures, do we?
Yeah, you do, because it's good for you. That's
I'm
right.
I'm supposed to be in this contest too, and I've been dogging it, so I better get to work.
Let's go! Come on, man. I still hadn't gotten your before picture.
You don't want that. So
I saw the one on the boat.
Anyway, let's get back to these lopsided scores. You know, I've been to two games so far this year, and they were both lopsided. So I went and watched Desert Vista open up the season against Maryvale, and it was 63 to nothing. And quite honestly, you know, I don't feel as though Desert Vista was piling on. They started to go into their second and third string. You know, it was a late season adjustment and schedule for Maryvale, and it could have been even worse than that. And so from that game perspective, I saw a lopsided victory that could have been well into the 80s or 90s, and even at 63 to nothing, it was pretty lopsided. And then last week I went down and watched Florence take on Santa Cruz Valley, and that used to be a pretty strong team and program, and Florence was up 42 to nothing before you could even take a breath, and they went into their second, third string before the halftime. So, you know, the Joy Christian score and some of those other scores, without physically being there and watching those games, it's hard for me to say that the coach or anything was run up, because you're just getting some of these programs, especially in the smaller schools that are so lopsided with talent, that you know, it's hard to tell the kids to stop playing. The 90s seems a little excessive, but from the two games I've seen, it doesn't surprise me.
You know, it's interesting because the scores are like this at every level. And so yeah. Now my question is, because this is something that I think the AIA is going to have to take a peek at and see, you know, was the restructuring, did that have anything to do with it? you know, were these teams already playing against each other and these have always been the types of scores we're seeing, or were these time were these teams matched up because of the new computerized system? And you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and some of these schools don't know the teams that they're playing as well as they had before. Yeah, it's going to take another year, possibly even this first two-year block for this new system to flush itself out. And one thing everybody needs to be aware of is, unlike any other year in, to my knowledge, the history of Arizona high school sports, each school, each sport doesn't have to be in the same division per sport. So, you know, I look at the score of a school that you've got some background with, West Wind Prep. I look at them last year in the 2A division, and that school's been kind of built around basketball, and the wheels kind of fell off of that. But at the same time, the football team got hammered last year.
Yep.
And then I go look, and lo and behold, I think they played Santa Cruz the first game of the year.
San Carlos.
San Carlos. And if I recall, they won that game.
Yeah, 32-6.
So, you know, bless those guys' hearts. They just got taken out to the woodshed the entire season last year, and they open up the season with a win over a team that I think they did play last year. So, you know, it's almost year to year, although the big schools keep getting bigger. It's hard to gauge what's going on until this plays out, probably not even until the end of next season.
Well, here's some interesting scores. Let's take a look real quick here at the Division Five football scores as they played on Friday night. You had San Manuel over, how do you say, is it Babacuarvi?
Babacuarvi.
Yeah, there you go. 59.
Babo. Just call him Babo.
Babo. They San Manuel beat Babo 59-0. Then you had Campo Verde over Scottsdale Christian, 38-14. Hopi over Pinon, 42-19. Canyon State got a good win over Valley Christian, 37-21. Thatcher with a win over Miami, 27-16. Arizona Lutheran and Phoenix Christian, 48-28. Phoenix Christian with a good win there. But then you have another lopsided score, Round Valley over Alchese, 63-0. Gray Hills beat Red Mesa, 30-8. Like you mentioned, West Wind Prep got the win over San Carlos, and they were 32-6. Santan Foothills got a good win over Tombstone, 49-26. And then Benson beat Tanque Verde, 53-21. It's funny because some of these sound like basketball scores.
Well, and you look at schools like Santan Foothills. They're a brand new high school. This is probably only their second year of varsity. And then you named a couple other schools. If I heard you right, Scottsdale Christian and Valley Christian both got beat.
Yeah.
And you know, Valley Christian's a perennial powerhouse at that level. So it's hard to tell what's going on. I mean, each year you think you know going into the season who the top programs are going to be at each division, as they're called this year. But lo and behold, after the first week, we got a bunch of surprises, and a lot of those scores did surprise me. But the wild swings, I mean, it goes all the way up to the big schools. Mountain View getting crushed, and Corona, who has struggled the last couple of years, but they still get crushed with Joseph, now the coach, moving over from Mountain View. And you just look at some of that, and you're like, what the heck's going on?
So, well, let's take a look at the Division III, and let's talk about some of those teams, because that's some stuff that I thought would shake out differently. But if we look at there, you've got Liberty over Dysart, 64-6, which Liberty's had a pretty strong basketball program in the last few years. How's their football program been? I haven't followed it.
Well, and I haven't either. Their basketball program is coming along, but as you know, a good football program or a good basketball program doesn't always necessarily correlate to the opposite being true, vice versa. So, you know, Division III, you still got Saguaro and Thunderbird sitting at the top. They play this Thursday. It's going to be the game of the week. You've got a few other guys have been strong for quite a while in Williamsfield and Cactus, and Sabino has always been a beast. So,
and Williamsfield got a good win over Maricopa, 42-0.
Yeah, and Maricopa has struggled for quite a while, so I don't think that's too big of a surprise. But I think you're going to see that the typical powerhouses in Division III are pretty much what has been going on for the last several years.
Well, let's talk about the two guys you just mentioned at the top of the heap, Saguaro and Thunderbird. Okay, now Saguaro, I was at that game. That game, that score over Paradise Valley, 63-20, was not indicative of the type of game it was for Saguaro. The funny thing about that game, John, is that Saguaro probably could have had three or four other touchdowns in the first half, but they were called back because of penalties.
Yeah, and Paradise Valley is no slouchy school either.
Exactly.
That just shows you what a strong program Coach Saunders and his staff have put together over there. I mean, every year it's somebody else that steps up to the plate for the Saber Cats, and, you know, DJ Foster was a big name last year, but he's a gigantic name this year. We just released our top 30 seniors and reshuffled them a bit, and through committee, Foster moved up to the second-ranked player in the state, and in my mind, he's probably the best player in the state, regardless of division. So, I think Saguaro is going to be the team to beat again this year.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, because here's the funny thing. So, in between, I'm on the sidelines, and in between the third and fourth quarter, Coach Saunders was walking down, and he saw me, and he pointed at me. He says, "Hey, Coach." I said, "Hey, Coach, how you doing? You guys are looking great." He said, "Coach, let me tell you this. I promise you we'll get better." And he was saying it because he felt like, you know what, we're letting our people down. He said, "I promise you, we will get better." He says, "You know, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad." And I just sat there and I listened to him, and I said, "Well, Coach, good luck this year." And I tell you what,
that's a scary thought.
If they're going to get better, that's exactly what I tweeted out immediately. I says, "You know, Coach Saunders said they're going to get better. If that's the case, oh my goodness, that's going to be an ugly
thing." Well, Thursday's going to pretty much tell how much better they got in a week. That's going to be a good test, but I'll ride the SaberCat gravy train for a while.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a fan of the SaberCats. I have to say, I'm a fan of the SaberCats. And I thought Paradise Valley was going to put up a good fight, but the smothering defense of Saguaro was amazing. They gave up absolutely nothing. It was amazing to see that defense just stuff them time after time after time. And then the offense, it was ridiculous. They just ran all over the place. At the half, it was 21-14, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, Paradise Valley has an opportunity here. And the next thing you know, you blink at the end of the third quarter, it was crazy. I think it was 49-16 at the end of the third quarter.
Well, I can't disagree with anything anybody said about Saguaro. They're the real deal, and more than likely they're going to be creeping into our super top 10 here shortly. It's just loaded with Division I and a few Division II teams, but Saguaro's right there on the door, and a big win by either T-Bird or Saguaro's probably going to get them in this week.
Well, let's take a look at a couple scores before we take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get some more information from our guest, John Perryman. Liberty got a big win over Dysart 64-6. Desert Edge fell to Thunderbird 28-10, which is setting them up at a 1-0 record to meet up with Saguaro on Friday, I believe it is this week, isn't it? Is it Saturday?
T-Bird and Saguaro are going Thursday, I believe.
Is it Thursday? Okay. Oh, it's the Cox game too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. McClintock 47 over Tempe 14. Sierra Linda 52 over Glendale 26. Queen Creek got a win over Coombs 49-0. Apollo got a good win 24 over Peoria 13. Nogales beat Catalina 48-6. Palo Verde beat Amphi 49-33. Williamsfield got a win over Maricopa 42-0. Higley held on to win against Carl Hayden 51-14. I know, I'm just kidding. It was 51-14, and they didn't just hold on to win. Verado 18, Copper Canyon 13, Sunrise Mountain 45, Greenway 19. And then the Moon Valley, had another tough week, went up against Cactus and had and got beat 53-0. Campo Verde got a good win over Apache Junction 31-6. And then the final game Friday night was Agua Fria over Shadow Ridge 48-30, Agua Fria with a win. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. What we're going to do is we're going to jump to a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more football with John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com.
Internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're joined by ArizonaVarsity.com's moderator, John Perryman. I want to, before we move to the Division II, you wanted to give a shout out to D4. So let's go. I'm going to go ahead and let you.
Well, first, Division V. I'm riding the Northwest Christian bandwagon, too. I think they just got some excellent players on there. And you know, there's some other teams in that division. Obviously, there's a handful of them that are going to make some noise. But my early pick is Northwest Christian. And then quickly in Division IV, you just got, you know, several teams up there in the top 10 or so that could really make some noise. But when you go up into the White Mountains and start talking Sholo and Blue Ridge, that's just nasty football up there. It's an unbelievable experience to be around it. And then in Central Arizona, you've got massive rivals in Coolidge and Florence that are right there in the hunt, too. I think those four teams in most people's polls are probably top five material. And, of course, the game of the week in that division is Sholo's coming down to take on Florence. So, there's some good football at some lower levels, and there's just some incredible football players at those levels, too.
You know, when you were talking about Blue Ridge and Sholo, I honestly believe if those two teams moved up in division, they would still compete heavily.
They probably could. I mean, that's, you know, you hear about Florida and some of the areas where football is just practically the religion, and it's pretty much true up there. It's crazy stuff. and everything that went on last year with Morgan leaving Valley Christian and ending up there, it gets pretty dicey. But there's some great Division One level players that come out of those divisions. If people want to see a good football game and show up, you'll be sitting there thinking you're watching some big. You won't see as many players on the sidelines, but what you see out on the field is just as impressive.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is that people think that in order for you to get a college scholarship, you have to be at a Hamilton, you have to be at a Brophy or a St. Mary's or a Saguaro or a Chaparral, and that's not true. Those guys are getting scholarships just as much as the other guys, and they're sending kids that are playing pretty well.
Absolutely. It's almost like, unlike when, you know, back in our day where high school was where you got seen and recruited at, it just doesn't work that way anymore with all the internet media like our site. You got Rivals and Scout and ESPN, and you've got everything else going on, and then you've got all the summer camps, combines, and clinics, and everybody's getting ranked, and there's video all over the place. It doesn't really matter too much what high school you play at anymore. I mean, Pete is now highly regarded by most people as the top prospect in Arizona, and he played for that disaster program Corona last year, and this year they already got their butts handed to him by Bashan, and his offers aren't going to stop rolling in anytime soon. And you've got some kids up at Sholo that are being looked at. Last year out of Florence, Kyle Washington came out of Florence and is now second on the depth chart at strong safety for the University of Colorado, playing in the Pac-12. So
yeah,
these guys, if you can play at the next level, they're going to find you. So
yeah,
I know there's, you know, to me, most of these transfers are more non-player related and probably more of a parent and some other things going on. But where you're playing at high school and how your high school team does in particular probably has less and less of a bearing on whether a college is going to pick you up or not. They're going to know if you're college material regardless.
Yeah. Let's take a look at D2 and talk about some of the teams at the Division II level. You know, we had Deer Valley over Willow Canyon 28-7. Sunny Slope and Washington battled, and it was a 28-26 win for Sunny Slope. Sounds like it was a great game. Camelback got a win over South Mountain 19-12. Shap barely squeaked by South Point Catholic 22-21. You know, that's a game, you know, John, I'm looking at that game and I'm thinking there's no way Chaparral should be 22-21 against South Point Catholic.
Well, you know, South Point's got some good size and they're coached well. South Point's always been a 5A, one team, so being in Division II gives them probably even a better level playing field. You know, I was at Chaparral's home opener against Bishop Gorman, and although Bishop Gorman was gigantic, Chaparral looked pretty good until they started pounding the ball against them. So, you know, Kevin Stewart's our senior analyst on our website for football, and he made a comment the other day that I think people are starting to realize how important all the graduating seniors were last year from Chaparral's team. They lost a bunch of guys, and although they've got some very skilled position players, this week's game against Marcos is going to tell a lot, because Marcos opened up the season with a blowout win over what everybody thought was going to be a strong Notre Dame prep team, and they just literally demolished them. So that is the game of the week in Division II, to see who comes out on top. And then here you've got Centennial creeping
Wait. Before you just cruise on over the Notre Dame prep situation, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, what happened to Notre Dame prep? I mean, I know they lost their home football field.
The input I was getting from the game and after the game, and even as late as this morning, is although Marcos Deniza isn't overly big on the line, especially on the defensive line, they're fast, aggressive, and they like to hit. So I think Notre Dame came in probably a little bit bigger, but a little less athletic, and speed and skill got the best of them, because they the Padres just literally pounded Notre Dame into the ground physically, almost knocked the quarterback out. Unfortunately, there was a player that got hurt at the end of the game to where they had to finish the game a couple minutes early because he had to be carted off the field, and I'm just hoping like all get out that he's going to be okay. I heard some not so good news this morning that he may have a broken back. I don't know if anybody's reported on any of the sites or in the newspaper what actually happened to him, but it was Marcos put a physical pounding on Notre Dame.
It was 56-6, and it's shocking that program is going through what they're going through right now, because they've always sat at the top as one of the best teams in the state. And I mean, what, they had two or three back-to-back-to-back championships, didn't they?
Well, yeah, and they were in 4A2 in the past, so you know, everybody felt that 4A2 and maybe even the 5A2 was a little bit watered down, and now they've moved up, you know, to take on some of the bigger teams. And you know, I don't know if at least the first week they weren't quite ready for that. It's very possible they got some great coaching over there. By the end of the season, they'll get things turned around. But yeah, at least Friday night, with respect to Marcos doesn't have a tremendous amount of size, but they get after it. And I don't think Notre Dame was quite expecting what happened.
It's going to be a tough season for them. They're not only did they move up, but at the same time, they lost their home field. They no longer, they usually play their home games at Scottsdale Community College, and I don't know what took place there, but something took place. So they're no longer playing their home games at Scottsdale Community College, and that just happened. So now all of their games this year are away.
Down to a hash mark issue on the football field, that it was asked to have the hash mark changed for high school games versus what it's there for the SEC games, and some arrangements couldn't be made, and so it ended up to where they ended up dropping them from using the facility at all. And now, yeah, they're on the road the rest of the season, because that first game against Marcos was supposed to be played at SEC.
Right, that was a home game for Notre Dame.
Yeah, so. It was supposed to be, and so they took it in the shorts every which way.
Yeah, well, you know what? I want to make sure that we put out there that thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the injured athlete from Notre Dame. And, you know, John, if you find out information about that, please let me know.
I will.
And we'll definitely report on that, maybe even next Monday, give an update as to how the kid's doing and what's going on there. But if we keep looking at the Division II, we've got scores like Prescott 39 over Bradshaw Mountain 21, Catalina Foothills with a 35-23 win over Rincon, Perry got a good win over Casa Grande 44-28, Mountain View Marana, that score was 27-2 over Marana, Chavez over La Jolla Community 45-0, 27-26 battle between Shadow Mountain and Goldwater. Mountain came out on top. Independence fell short to Ironwood 42-12. Gila Ridge beat Mojave 27-14. Flowing Wells 31, Saharita 21. Then you had Centennial. Like, you were just getting ready to talk about Centennial before I interrupted you, because I didn't want to brush over Notre Dame. 52-7 over Kellis. So what's going on at Centennial?
Same thing that's always going on at Centennial. They just you know, they're the Chaparral of the West Valley, the Hamilton of the Southeast Valley. They just they don't rebuild, they reload. So I know there's a lot of Coyote fans out there that think that they've been slighted with Chaparral this year. But, you know, Chaparral earned that by winning the state championship the last 2 years. But that being said, it's kind of a three-dog race in Division Two, I believe, with the same three teams that have been cropping up over the last several years, and that'd be Centennial, Chaparral, and Marcos. You know, Marcos knocked that Centennial out of the playoffs a couple years ago to stop their streak when Chaparral started theirs. And I'm sure there's a couple Southern Arizona teams like Ironwood Ridge and now South Point Catholic with their almost win over Chaparral and a few other teams. Millennium had a big win. They beat Fairfax. I think, and that surprised me a little bit. So there's some teams that can make some hay during the season here in Division II, but I still think it comes down to one of those three teams. And with Marcos and Chaparral playing this week, if it's a close battle, it could go either way for the rest of the season. If one team happens to take out the other team and make a statement, then I think after this week, you're almost down to looking at the winner of that game and Centennial as being the clear leaders, at least for the next several weeks.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that Division II shapes up. And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at Division I football, and then we're going to wrap up the show. I cannot believe we've already cruised through an hour of the show here with John Perryman from ArizonaVarsity.com. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
But damn the game, if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old-school, in-your-face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're joined right now by ArizonaVarsity.com moderator John Perryman. We're talking football this week, and we're talking the Division I football right now. We only got a couple minutes left in the show, so I want to hit this quick and fast. We have Alhambra 13 over Central 6, Basha 52-7 over Corona del Sol. I want to talk about that game real quick, John.
Okay.
What, you know,
not much to talk about.
Basha has really seen a shift since the new coaching change.
They have, and I was a little skeptical about Buskin going in there just because of his history, but everybody that's been over there and has talked to me about the program said he's running a top-notch program, squeaky clean, and they're getting it done. And to be just down the road from Hamilton and down the road, you know, not too far removed from Chandler and schools like that, that was a tough school to get things done because of those other schools that were out in that Southeast Valley. So I got to give props to the Basha people. Corona is just more of a train wreck from last year's debacle with the coaching situation. The administration, you know, in my opinion, totally screwed that up and took way too long to rectify it. And Coach Joseph is in there, and we've had reports that just a fraction of the players that used to try out for the program are showing up to actually play football. So he will probably get it turned around over there, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, then we go over to Brophy. Brophy over Mountain Ridge, 32-0. Brophy program starting out pretty strong this year. Boulder Creek got a good win over Cactus Shadows, 48-20. Chandler with a big win, 64-0 over Kofa. Kofa drove a long ways to take home a loss. Saboya, 29, Lake Havasu, 14. Now, Desert Vista, which is a team that seems to be on a roll. I tell you what, Desert Vista is a team that you need to watch this season with a 38-6 win over the Jackrabbits of Mesa. You know, Desert Vista started the season out. They were the first game of the year, and they got to win, what, 55-0 over Maryville?
Yeah, it was 63-0, and it probably could have been way worse. I was at that game. I stood down on Maryville's sidelines, and you know what? Those guys played their hearts out, and I have to give Maryville credit for, one, taking that game on. They didn't have to, and two, every time the players came off and things weren't looking so good, those coaches with Maryville were talking their players up and stuff. But on the other side, Desert Vista's loaded. They're loaded at the skill position. They got good-sized linemen. Hunter Rodriguez is a very, very good-sized quarterback at 6'4", probably around 215, 220. Excellent baseball player also. So he knows, you know, he's got something between the ears there. Mike Arredondo is just a man-child. He just runs over everybody. So they're a very balanced team. They've got this week off, and then they come back and play Mountain Point, who hung tough with Hamilton. So in 2 weeks, you've got an early Ahwatukee Bowl, and it's going to be big time out in Ahwatukee.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think the Thunder have started to put themselves in a position where, you know, I'm sure that you guys are having to look at them as a number one ranked team in your super top 10 or in the top three at least, because I'm looking at this. I'm seeing Desert Vista, Saguaro, Chaparral. I'm seeing some teams that are going, hey, take a look at us.
Yeah, we do. We have them at number 7 this week. They moved up from number 8. It's just the top 10's pretty loaded. We got 7 teams from Division 1 currently in the top 10. And you know what? All 7 of those teams could flip-flop next week. We got Hamilton at number 1 because, you know, 41 games in a row until you get beat, you're number 1. And then you've got Chandler that opened up tough. And then they play Maryville this week. So they're not going to be tested for a couple weeks. But then their schedule gets real tough. Desert Ridge made some noise last year.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
They made some big noise last year, and they're going to continue this year. Great coaching. They got banged up a little bit going into the season, but you got to have them in the mix. And then, of course, there's Brophy. And Mountain Point, we dropped from 5-6, but, you know, when they're in the game almost all the way to the end against Hamilton, you can't discount them. The only thing they're missing is their quarterback position needs to continue to develop. They've got the best, one of the best, if not the best, sophomores in the state in Jalen Brown at receiver and defensive back. They need to get the ball in his hands a lot more through the air, because that kid could just make things happen. He's big time. So I think as Mountain Point continues to get better and develop their quarterback position, they're going to be scary by the end of the season. And, yeah, you've got Desert Vista. I think in 2 weeks, the Mountain Point-Desert Vista game, if that comes down to the wire, then still either one of them are in the hunt. And if one really takes the other one out to the woodshed, who knows what's going to happen after that game.
Well, you know, it's funny because the Desert Ridge game, the spark that lit that fuse, I think, was the transfer quarterback, Parker Rasmussen, from Highland over to Desert Ridge. And, man, that team did take off last year and had a great run, and then had an injury towards the end of the season to go into the playoffs, and that really hurt their chances to make a deep run into the playoffs. And even with that, they still did well in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, we're going back to last year's playoffs game. They kind of put him in a bad situation in that last playoff game they were at. They were actually doing quite well, and then needed a big play and tried to, you know, pull a Kirk Gibson out of the closet, and it just didn't work for him. But yeah, they're, you know, they can win. You know, right now, out of the 7 teams that we've got in our super top 10. Hamilton's still at the top, but there's there's wiggle room for any one of those teams and maybe even some other teams to creep into the picture by the end of the season.
Well, like you said, Hamilton's number one until they lose. But here's the thing. There are some dogs nipping at their heels right now, and they're not looking as dominant as they have over the last couple years. So Hamilton could be poised to slip and fall and have another couple teams fight for that number one spot. And I think there are several teams across the valley right now that early in the season are looking very good. And, you know, like Coach Saunders said, we're only going to get better. These other teams are only going to get better as well. Desert Vista, Chaparral, all these teams are just going to continue to get better. And
well, you know what, though? Hamilton's going to continue to get better, too. That's the scary part. They've got a JV program that could take on most varsity teams. So I remember last year when they opened up the season with a win against Bishop Gorman, they kind of rode that wave and were the predominant number one team the whole year. But before that, 2 years ago, people were saying the same thing they're saying about them now. Well, they're vulnerable, they're not as good as they were, blah, 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 and guess what? 41 games later, and they're still at the top of the heap. So, yeah, there's some teams that can beat them on a super good day, and they have an average day. There could be some teams that surprise them, but it still wouldn't surprise me if they ran the table again. It just wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, John. This has been great. You are the man who knows what's going on in high school sports in Arizona, and I love listening to you talk about the teams and the kids and the site. For those of you who don't know, you can go to ArizonaVarsity.com, become a member, and talk about high school sports in the state of Arizona. John, why don't you tell people a little bit about the site real quick?
Well, it's ArizonaVarsity.com. If you go to our front page, you'll see on the right-hand side our current Super Top 10 for football. Click on the link at the bottom of it, and it gives you a little more detail. That's put up there each weekend by myself and, like I said, Kevin Stewart's my football guru, and we've got a lot of other guys behind the scene that help us with football. So we're really cranking it up again this year for football. Our three biggest sports that we cover is football, basketball, and baseball for the state of Arizona, and our site is the rival site for Arizona, and of course we're part of the Yahoo Sports Network that is pretty gigantic
and it's making some
global scheme.
It's making some big noise. Yahoo breaking a whole bunch of great stories and breaking some programs in the process. So I want to thank you for joining us.
Miami Hurricanes don't like us right now, but everybody else.
All right. So I want to thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, join ArizonaVarsity.com. You can become a member and blog on the site you know, give your 2 cents input into a lot of high school sports. It's a great website. I belong to it. I blog on it, and I've supported the site for several years. So this is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. I want to thank John Perriman for joining us. I want to thank you for listening. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at Coach Lovely and like us on Facebook. Hey, where are you sitting with your Coach's Corner Fitness Challenge? It's coming up. 30 days is almost up. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out. Peace.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.